Blog Talk Radio.
BFI Radio.
Hi, welcome to Bridget Franklin Inspires. My name is Bridget Franklin, and I welcome you for taking time out of your busy day to listen in on the show today. Tyrone and I are going to talk about, is it really love? So I'm getting ready to click Tyrone in, and we're going to get started. Ty, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you once again for taking time out your busy schedule to help co-host my show. And remember the last time we were on, I had a series of questions that people had submitted. Well,
yes,
we have some doozies this time. I'm just going to go ahead and just put it out there and let you know. A lot of people inquired about love because so many people are confusing godly relationships with human relationships,
mm-hmm.
and they're not building a solid foundation, and so the human relationships are failing.
Okay.
So I picked out biggest questions because I'm sure we'll have some callers that may want to ask us a question. Now, some of them are kind of deep. I mean, but there are real issues that we need to address. Now, we know in 1 Corinthians, it's chapter 13, it talks about all the things that love is. Love is patient,
exactly.
and love is kind. And it gives us the parameters for love. But so many people are missing it. And why do you think that is so?
Well, I think that, especially in the Western culture, we take more of a Western and modern perspective and place it upon what God has originated and forget about God's principles of love. And God's principles of love involve relationship and fellowship. And relationship, when I speak of relationship, I'm speaking between of a man and a woman. But when we talk about fellowship, we're talking about the relationship between that person and God. And before you can enter into relationship successfully with someone else, you must first have fellowship with God. And so
mm-hmm.
we tend to put the cart before the horse and then lose the meaning.
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, you and I, we have been, you know, raised in the church, and we see, you know, how the word tells us, do not forsake fellowship. But I
exactly.
think a lot of times we just apply the religious stuff to church, but we don't take it and use the Bible as a manual for when we get outside of the church walls.
Exactly.
And
we start
mixing stuff up, we start getting confused, and it just becomes a mess. And I think that is why, you know, divorce rate is so high. You know, people are confusing love with lust because, you know, the word tells us that we are flesh and our spirit. They are at war.
Yes.
So we need to kind of lay the foundation and maybe give some people that are listening in, you know, some guidance to some of their issues. Now, my dad used to always say, start off with the hard stuff and get that out the way. And then... So you know, I'm setting you up. I'm getting you ready, Ty. Here is this question, and I see this so much. When I saw it, I was like, oh Lord, Ty and I are in trouble. This writer, she writes in, she says, when we first met 3 months ago, I knew he was my husband. God told me. How can I convince him what God said?
Woo, Jesus. How can I convince him of what God has said?
Now. You give it to me from the man's perspective, and then I'm going to. I got some things
well,
to say.
Well, I mean, first of all, I guess we have to deal with this God said piece. It's very difficult, and I have a difficulty of understanding when people say God has told them something about somebody else and that other person does not know about it. God does everything decently and in order, and it seemed like if he told her, he told him too. But I mean, that's just me. But the Bible says that a man that findeth a good woman, findeth a good woman. When you look at Genesis and the model that God has given for marriage, God created Eve for Adam and brought her unto him, not the other way around. That is the reason why in the marriage ceremony you have the father that brings the wife to the husband and gives her away. And so you see this model that God has made. And for her, I guess the answer to the question is, how can she convince him? She can't convince him. Only thing she can do is be obedient to what God has told her to do in her life first and let God take care of the rest.
Absolutely, absolutely. And from a woman's side of it, I concur totally with what you said. I've met many women in the church, and they can see a gentleman that they're interested in, and I believe that they start hearing their own desires, and they construe that as being from the Lord. And what it is, they're listening to their own desires. And I tell people a lot, I tell people when it even comes to prophecy, and you may or may not agree, but when it comes to prophecy, to me, that's confirmation of something the Lord has already dealing with
exactly.
you about.
Exactly, exactly.
God doesn't go and tell all your business, and then someone comes and prophesies over you and tells you all of this stuff, and you have no idea what they're talking about.
Exactly.
And the same premise when it comes to a mate. I believe that she was hearing her own desires. Now, I'm not trying to say that I'm the Holy Ghost voice police. I'm not trying to say that. But I line up with what I believe with what the Word says. And if that was his wife, I believe the Lord would reveal it to this gentleman, and he would hear it. It's kind of like my brother told me, I do the chasing and you do the choosing.
There you go.
And, yeah, so, you know, to answer her question on from a woman's point of view, I'm with Tyrone. You cannot convince someone. You cannot change someone. You can't make someone love you, much less marry you, if that is not what they want. So Ty's advice and my advice really basically line up. You need to pray about it. Step back and let that man be the head. Let him lead. You don't lead. You're out of order when you try to lead because the man is the one who does the leading.
Ooh, child,
and,
you're going to get in trouble.
I know. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the switch voice is lighting up. Okay, all right. But I'm not
well, you know,
of
let me,
you
I will piggyback on that and just say this also, too. That, you know, she says, you know, how can she convince him? And I'll say this to anybody or to any woman or man. If you have to convince them to get them, you're going to have to convince them to keep them. So, you know, that's the key, you know. You don't want to have to convince anyone of your value. If they see your value, it would be obvious.
Yes, that's true. And that's the importance of knowing your worth. And it deals with self-love. You have to love yourself before you can adequately love others because you catch yourself settling. You catch yourself grabbing at straws because you are in fear of being alone. But alone and lonely are two different things.
There you go.
And when people learn the difference in that, they'll be a lot better off. All right? Well,
okay.
To me, that was the deepest one. Okay. Okay. Well, ooh, now that I'm looking at this other question, I don't know, Ty, you may not want to be on the show anymore.
I'll take it. Let's handle it.
Okay, Pastor, here we go. Me and my fiancé started out our relationship having sex. Now I'm saved. He's trying to get where I'm at. I guess that means he's not saved yet. Things ran smooth while we were fornicating, but since we stopped, our relationship has gotten worse and worse day by day. What should we do?
Well, surprisingly, when I encounter this, and I encounter this a lot, especially when you have people that are living together and then go into a marriage, they encounter this. And you'd be surprised my answer. My answer is if this is what's happening, then you're in a good place. You're in a very good place. Because what's happened is you've aroused the anger of the enemy. While you were fornicating and living outside of the covenant of God, the devil's happy with you. He's not going to mess with you. If he's not mad at you, he's not going to mess with you. But the moment you start moving towards the direction of God and the will of God and to the purposes of God, he's going to arouse his anger, and he's going to put roadblocks and obstacles in your way. So he sees that this is a covenant relationship that's coming into being, is growing up and maturing into Christ. He's going to try to stop it. So as long as the devil's messing with you, you know you're moving in the right direction. That is your roadmap. That is your compass to kind of single you that you're going in the right direction. So what I would advise them to doing is keep moving. They're not going to be perfect. I'm not going to tell anybody that's been fornicating that you can just stop cold turkey and that's going to be it. No, that's why we have grace, praise God. Where we fall short, God makes up the difference, okay? So, you know, my pastor said, once you've opened up that sweet aroma, you can't put it back in the box.
Oh, Father.
So, once
and
you've partaken of
the
nectar of life. But, you know, they are moving in the right direction, and I think they're doing a good thing, and they need to continue in that direction and continue to grow together. That's the biggest thing, is to grow and mature in Christ together, and then they can see how the devil's attacking them.
Okay. Well, I'm going to attack the question from another angle, because you brought out an answer to that question separate from the angle that I interpreted the question.
Okay.
So here is how I interpreted her question. She said, what should we do? But to me, I felt she was saying, what should I do? Because she is the one now that's saying, we're not going to fornicate any longer. I'm saved. But he's saying, and I'm coming from a woman's perspective, baby, I had needs. We've been
I thought she said he's trying to get to where she is.
That's what she said. He's trying to get where I'm at. But see, I'm not falling
for
that.
Oh, get where I'm at. In other words, get where I'm at. See,
yeah.
The pastor missed it. I'm thinking in theological terms. He's trying to get to, you know, to the same level of maturity that she is. That's not what he's talking about.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I can see that, you know, because it's like, okay, you decided to become a Christian, but, you know, we were fornicating, and now you want me to just turn it off. And I'm a man, and I still have needs. Every woman that's listening to this show has heard that line. I am a man, and I have needs. But she's trying to abstain and do what God says. But she's engaged to someone that she's already been doing all this stuff with, and now she's, how my grandmother says, she's closed up the shop, she shut the doors, she's out of business, and he's having a hard time dealing with that. And from that angle, I would tell her, pray. Pray hard and pray long. Because it's easier for you to stoop to his level than for him to rise up to yours.
Exactly.
And when it comes to your flesh, that's a powerful booger there. Your
Ooh,
flesh
Lord.
Is very powerful, especially since you've already dipped your toes into that land. So it's a struggle, but continue to be meek and to be kind. And one thing about a woman is don't try to overpower a man. Like you're going to force him, because I've learned that when you try to force your beliefs on people, it doesn't cause them to gravitate towards you. They tend to repel away from you.
Yeah. And from a man's point of view, since I'm looking at it from that angle, the best thing, one thing she can do is number one, and this goes with all women when you're dealing with men, be frank, be honest, say it like it is. Don't try to candy coat it and all that. Men are more analytical. They want to hear the facts. So what I would tell her is, you know, this man, I'm sure he loves her and she loves him. And if he has needs, then he has to meet her need. And if he wants to go there, then he has to put a ring on it. You know, make that commitment.
Uh-huh.
Make
mm-hmm.
that commitment
mm-hmm.
and show her that, you know, he values her in that area. If he doesn't, then she knows what she needs to do. If he's not willing to do that, then she knows exactly what she needs to do. But just the main thing is don't send mixed signals. That's the biggest thing. You know, you got to be
yes.
you got to be consistent. You got to be consistent.
Yeah,
if you're
yeah.
going to go, you know, you got to be consistent.
Yeah, it's like don't sit up and say, well, no, you know, we're not going to fornicate, but then he comes over to your house and you're half dressed.
Yeah,
you know,
at 12 o'clock at night. If he come over at 2 o'clock in the morning, he ain't come over there to watch TV. Okay? He's not coming to watch TV and play Uno.
No,
he's coming there for a reason.
Oh, we're in trouble. This is so true. And, you know, I had a discussion with my brother, and he was telling me, and he was reiterating what some of my male friends have told me in the past. It's like, women, go ahead and let us know up front so we know whether we want to continue pursuing you or whether the price is just too high.
Yeah.
Let
yeah.
us know. And
that's so good. That is so good. I love that. I love that. That is so good. Please just say it like it is. You know, don't
yes.
play the game. Cause we, especially for an old guy like me, don't play the games. You know, just say it like it is. Listen, I don't like you. You're keeping crooked. Please move on. You know? Just say it.
Exactly. Just be upfront and just tell us. He said, sis, don't wait until after you kiss. Don't wait until after you slept together. Don't wait 6 months down the line, then you start laying your standards down. Don't do that. Don't wait until after we stood in front of a minister and said, I do. And then as soon as we get home, you start laying out your standards. It's too late.
Ooh, Lord, that's going to be trouble
then
if you do
front.
That.
Yeah. But many people do. You know, many people do. And they confuse the lust for love because of that euphoric feeling. And all that, no, you hang up. You know, one of them kind of things. And you're like, no, this is some real stuff. This is
when I instruct my couples, when we talk about this, I explain to them that there's a, you know, it's a two type of relationship. First, you have the carnal or the worldly relationship that we have when we date and we're getting to know the person. And you know, there's a place for that. But once you move into marriage, that becomes something different, totally different. It's a covenant relationship.
Right.
And I tell them, and many people may have a problem with this, but I want people to understand the context of what I'm saying. When you move into the covenant relationship, love ain't got nothing to do with it. Because when you have that little puppy love at the beginning, that's going to wane off after a while. 15, 20 years into the marriage, you're not going to love that person the same way you did when you first met them. You're not going to be attracted to that person the same way you were when you first met. In fact, of the matter is, when you get to 15, 20 years, you may not even like that person. But when it's at that point, that's when you remember that you have made a commitment, a vow, and made a covenant with you, that person, and God. And so when the love is gone, the commitment kicks in. And that's where you can see marriages that last 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And then when you talk to people that have been married 60 years and plus, they say, no, I mean, I don't talk to him that much, but, you know, hey, we made a commitment. We made a vow. And it's different. It matures into something different. And so I always tell couples, don't get caught up in that puppy love.
You about to preach. You know that, right? You know you're on the verge of a sermon, right? Okay.
Hallelujah.
I just want to let you know you're on the verge of a sermon. Because it was a lady at church in Bible study, and she told me that her and her husband had been married 40 years. So our pastor, he had touched on relationships and love, and I turned to her and I said, is that what marriage is all about? She said, it's give and take. She said, and then give some more, and then give some more. And then give some more. I said, okay. And I think that's what you're referring to when it says all of that, you know, that love, that puppy love, that feeling where, you know, butterflies in your stomach, that will dissipate. That will go away. And then finally, some of the things that you thought were cute in the beginning get on your nerves later on, and that's where the commitment comes in.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to learn to fall in love over and over again. You have to find ways to fall in love over and over again. You know, when you married your woman, you know, she was slim and trim and beautiful, had long, pretty hair, and, you know, had all the teeth, and everything was great and beautiful, you know. But now, 20 years later, she's 50 pounds heavier. She's wearing a wig. You know, things ain't like it was, you know. So
right.
The attraction, that physical attraction, is not like it was. But, hey, listen, you've grown closer because you've made it through some trials. And what brings people closer together is not the good times but the bad times. When I have found couples that have been through infidelity, either on either side, and have made it through it, when you find those couples that are still together, you find a strong bond that virtually nothing can break. And that goes beyond the physicality, goes beyond the sex, goes beyond the money and all those surface things, and it goes deep where there's a bond and a commitment where they have been through battle together and have made it through.
Right.
And when you get to that point, that is fellowship.
I felt that in my feet. I mean, that just went straight to my feet. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Because because we can use the same analogy with men who are in service, and they go to war together.
Exactly.
And so they're in straight up battle. They depend on each other for each other's lives. And that's why when those men come home, they cry and all these emotions, because they have built a bond, because they have been through hell and back together. So
exactly.
The same premise is with the relationship. When you've went through some hell, it's like sitting in the house and the electricity's off, but you're still together instead of talking about getting divorced and cars getting picked up and infidelity and when the bills are high and the funds are low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting through those times, that is a test of love and commitment. And when you see someone that has been married that many years, my hats are off to them, because there's some people that break up for stupid stuff. And it just really ends up being a lack of communication,
exactly.
in most senses, or either the lust has worn off, and now you're in the phase where it's like, I wasn't really into him or her the way that I thought I was.
Yeah.
Because you started with a shaky foundation. You didn't start with a solid foundation, because a lot of people that I see may be cute, or, as I say, for a woman, fine. But then once you get to know the inside of them, sometimes they become very ugly on the outside.
Yeah.
Because you learn what is on the inside. Okay. I got another question. We got to attack here. We got about 7 minutes left.
Okay.
My girlfriend has a heart of gold. Oh, this came in from a guy. Wow. My girlfriend has a heart of gold, but she's an agnostic. I do believe we love each other. I'm a Christian. Any advice?
First thing is, don't get married. first word is, don't get married. Don't get married. Son, hear me. Don't get married. If she's agnostic, you're Christian, you're unequally yoked, it won't work. It won't work, okay? I hate to be negative. I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm just speaking from experience. You can't change somebody just because you get married. That doesn't change people.
Yes, that's true.
If you were married and both of you were unsaved at the time and then you got saved, then yes, you stay to sanctify the other. But now that you're not married, don't enter into that kind of union, because it's a Christian union. Understand,
it's
a Christian union. If she's agnostic, there's no way that she can adhere to what she doesn't believe.
Yeah.
And so if you believe one thing, she believes something else, you're going to have problems from the start.
Yeah. And again, that heart
love
of gold
ain't got nothing to do with it. Love ain't got nothing to do with it.
what about her heart of gold? You know, he said she had a heart of gold. No. No.
A heart of gold is great, and that's sweet. But when you take those vows and it says in good times and in bad, And that's where I stop when I do a marriage ceremony, and I say, listen, when it says bad, it means, it doesn't mean just because you're late on your rent. It means good times and bad, horrific, life-changing, catastrophic, okay? And when it gets to that point, love can't fix it. Heart of gold can't fix it. You're going to need some faith in God.
Yeah.
And if she has no faith and no God, and she doesn't believe there is a God, or can't be convinced there is a God, or just indifferent to it, then how are you going to work as a team? Because God looks at you as one flesh. So he's going to look at you as half of a person. So it can't work that way.
And there's no way that he can lead her because she's not a believer. Mm-hmm. So she won't adhere to those principles at all.
Never.
Yeah. The best thing that he could do is just pray that she gets saved. It's just being an example.
He needs to plant seeds. It's not his job to get her saved. And I advise anybody that, because you're going to set yourself up for failure. It's not his job to get her saved. It's his job to plant the seeds through his lifestyle, through the way he leads himself in her life. That way, when the Holy Spirit draws her, she will already have the seeds there, and the Holy Spirit will water it, and it will come to fruition. But marriage, I wouldn't go there yet.
I agree. Okay, here's our last one. These were some really heavy ones today, weren't they, Ty?
They were pretty good. Well, looking for and the one I was expecting was, you know, I'm in a marriage and my husband is beating me, or, you know, I'm in a violent relationship, you know, what do I do? You know, those are the kind of things that I deal with a lot. Or, you know, I'm in love. You know, this person is the love of my life. We both work well in the church together. We're both equally tied, but I'm a man and he's a man too. What do I do?
I did not get one of those because, you know, that would have been one of the first ones I brought to light. But this last one that I have did life coaching with people that have went through this. I'm saved, but my boyfriend has experienced church hurt. I know I can change his mind about the church, but how do I do it?
You know, that's a whole radio show we need to do. Church hurt.
Yeah. And that's why I made that one last, because I believe that we are going to do a show on church hurt, because so many people have come to me, you know, for life coaching and even for prayer, because people in the world can do you any kind of way and you can shake it off. But when someone hurts you in the church, it does something to your spirit.
Yeah.
And, you know, with this particular question, you know, she's saying her boyfriend has experienced church hurt, and I don't know what type of church hurt he's experienced.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would advise, number one, you can't change his mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the biggest things that people make a mistake of. They think that they can love all the hurt away, and you can't. That's something that God has to, you know, God has to fill the void. So, and we're running out of time, but I just want to say to that young lady that you just need to pray. And Ty, do you want to finish off on what she should do?
Yes, I would just tell her to support him and allow him to be vulnerable with her, to communicate with her, not for her to try to change his mind or change him. But many times when it's dealing with church hurt, the church hurt is really there because it hasn't been confronted and it hasn't been dealt with. So he needs to feel comfortable enough to just talk to her about it and get it out. And once he gets it out, it'd be easier to manage.
Okay, well, on that note, me and Ty are going to leave it on that note right there, and we are going to pick up this subject again. We'd like to thank everyone who listened in, thank all the people who submitted questions. I tried to fit in as many as possible, and we will join you on next Saturday, 5 o'clock, and we will be letting you know what the topic is. So thanks once again for listening to BFI Radio. Thank you once again, Tyrone. You're the best.
God bless you. God bless you.
God bless everyone. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.